To John chapter 4 today, if we may. So open your Bible with me to John chapter 4, and we're going to go back to the well, if that's all right. So let me just ask you as you raise your hand, or as you open your Bible, just raise your hand. If you had spent, did anybody spend time at the well last week? Did anybody spend time at the well during the week in the presence of the Lord? I just want to know, is Becky here today? Is Becky here? No? Okay, we'll get her next week. She's got some really incredible dance moves that we have to see as a church. But as I read, I thought about walking the plank here, if that's all right. And then after I walk the plank and read really quickly. See, this is a bookshelf just turned on its side. So there's a lot of holes, and I'm going to stand on the shelving of it. We tried to tape on the shelf. So let's go to John chapter 4. And if anybody wants to push me off the plank, this is now your opportunity. All right, Jared's first. So John chapter 4, we're going to go back to the well. I'm going to read the entire section like we did last week, and then we're going to break it down and look at something else that happens. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus did not baptize but only did his disciples, he left Judea and had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep." I want you to take note of what she just said. The well is what? Deep. "Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did." And that's where I want to stop this morning. And I'm going to walk the plank back. I'm walking on faith today. Faith that that bookshelf is holding me up. But before I go any further, that would drive me crazy. So I want to talk to you. I want to ask one question to start. Why in the world did this woman go to the well? Why did she go to the well? To get water. Why do you get water? Because you're thirsty. Jesus went to the well. Why did Jesus go to the well? Because he was thirsty. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think for just a second about the word thirsty and how the term thirsty is just a term that we use when we are in need of something, when we desire water. Our body gets thirsty. Well, what I want us to do is I want us to look at how strategic Jesus was. Last week I talked about how strategic he was when he chose this woman at the very time he chose her. But now I want to talk about how strategic Jesus was as he used this well and the water that was inside of it as a teaching prop, a visual teaching prop that we can learn so much from today. And last week we talked about the invitation that Jesus gave to this woman that he also gives to us. And then today we're going to begin digging into and looking at the transformation that takes place in this woman just by sitting at the well with Jesus, having a little conversation that you and I could all have with him as well and be truly transformed. But this is what I have come to learn about people, including myself. You and I are thirsty people, but not just for water. There is a term now in today's culture that whenever we use the word thirsty, they are saying that whoever is thirsty is just seeking what? Attention. Why are we seeking attention? Because there is a void inside of us that we need to fill, and we hope to fill it by one of many outlets. So what are some things that we can thirst for? If we're not careful, we will be thirsty for money. Who here has ever chased money? Who here likes money? I mean, yeah, I like it. It's helpful. It helps pay bills. It helps feed kids. It helps put clothes on back. But if we aren't careful, we will thirst for money. And what Jesus is wanting to do, and I want us to, he's calling us deeper this morning with this particular text and this particular message, because I want us to all look at what we thirst for. What is it that you long for? What is it that you live for? What is it that, if you can get your hands on it, or if you can get it into your life, it will meet your need. And what Jesus is showing this woman and exposing in her life is that she has looked for it in five men. That didn't work. So she's now on to number six. And it's probably not working yet either based off her track record. So it's probably going to be number seven soon if she's not careful. But what he is exposing to her and what he's wanting us to understand is that we all have a desire in our heart and our soul to be satisfied. But we, if we are not careful, we'll find it in many other ways. And that is what I want us to do today, to examine what it is that you desire most. What is it that if you get your hands on it, you will be happy and you will be stress-free? So let's dig in. We get thirst for money. You get thirst for it. You can work hard. You can work long hours. You can work 7 days a week for money. But here is the crazy thing about money. Maybe it's the 10th for you, or maybe it's five times a month. There are these things that come in the mail, and you usually have to write a check or pay cash. What are they called? They're called bills. And every month, you and I will have to spend so much of our money to pay these bills so that we can continue to live in the house we live in, drive the car that we drive, or have the electric that we have. This is a wasp, man. Not on this ship. All right. Let's get back here. But if we are not careful, we will thirst for money. And then every month when those bills go out and that money leaves the bank account, what do we do the next morning? We'll wake up and go back to work. Or then we might find that, well, the money that I have coming in really isn't building my name enough or building my account enough. I need to work an extra day. I need to work an extra shift. I need to make a little bit more money so I will find me a new job so that I can have more money. And if money is what we long for, money is what we desire, here's what we will do. We will sacrifice or neglect a little bit of family time so that I can have more money. I will miss out on the ball games. I'll miss out on the trips because I have got to get to work to have more money. And then every month it just cycles. Bills come in, money goes out. Bills come in, money goes out. And if you work at the post office, you get people's extra cash. No, I'm just kidding. And then you send them your bills. And there's this constant cycle of bills come in, money goes out. Bills come in, money goes out. And what we will do is we will live in a very dangerous thing called the thirst trap, where we're looking for money to satisfy our soul. And what it is just money is just a very shallow satisfaction. It'll only fill us whenever we have a lot of it. Because when you don't have any of it, what are you looking for? Money. And when you have a little bit of money, you're wanting a little bit more of money. And when you have a lot of money, but other people have a little bit more money, what are you looking for? Money. Whenever you have the most money in the world, and you've found, you know, everything in the world, and you are now the richest man in the world or the richest woman in the world, what do you want more of? It's money. It's a constant cycle. It's a horrible, dangerous trap of thirsting for money. Here's another thing we thirst for. We thirst for possessions. Possessions. Toys. Who likes toys? I mean, just raise your hand. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having nice things and a lot of toys. But here's what happens. We will thirst for possessions. We will think that if I can get that, if I can drive that, if I can see that in my driveway, if I can live in that, if I can own that, if my name is on that, I will be happy, I will be satisfied, my heart will be filled. And what will happen is our possessions, because possessions go one of two ways. Things that we hold on to or things that hold on to us. So our possessions, if we thirst for possessions, here's the beautiful thing about possessions. It's not really beautiful, but it's true. Possessions will have to be repaired or replaced. All possessions will have to be repaired or replaced. So if we hold on to possessions, we will say, man, if I could just get that, then I will be so happy. Who here has ever said that? If I could just drive that. Yep. If I could just own that. And if we aren't careful, we will thirst for possessions. We will long for them. And we will think that that new truck will fill our void. That new boat. That new purse. You know, and the silly thing is, and I just can't get it, is that these stinking things in my pocket, they come out with a new one like every 3.5 months. And if you don't go buy the new one when it comes out, all of a sudden your phone starts to lag and it freezes. And then what do you have to do? You got to go buy the new one. So there's a constant. tackled the whole bottom. moment what buckets we may be carrying. And then I want to give you a moment in this place, in this very second in time, to do just as this woman did when she came to understanding of what was most important in life, is to just leave the bucket behind and go. To just drop the bucket or buckets. Because as I mentioned, the one constant was there was water in the well. There may not always be money in the bank account. There may not. There may not always be a shiny rig in the driveway. There may not always be a lot of people in your corner cheering you on and liking your posts and commenting and telling you everything you want to hear. But I know of one. I know of one that's inviting you to today to just drop the bucket. To just drop whatever it was that you were chasing or seeking and desiring to fill your need. Because the choice is yours. Earthly supply, eternal salvation. I want you to know that give me the one that I can lean on whenever I sit in a hospital room and I look at a screen that's supposed to show me a baby, but it ain't there no more. Give me the one that's going to be there to comfort me and to hold me up and to push me forward when I stare in the casket of someone that I love with all of my heart and all of my soul. That's the one I want that's going to fill every single... Give me the one that's going to provide every single need that I may have, provide the food for my family whenever hours are cut or when the job is taken away. Give me the one that's going to fill every single void inside of my heart and every single part of my soul. Give me that one. Give me that one. His name is Jesus. He's drawing you to the deep today. It's time to drop the buckets and to be drawn to the deep. It's time to leave the buckets behind. And it is time to feel for just a moment and to find how He is the one to supply every need. How Jesus is the one to satisfy your soul. He is inviting you today just as He invited this woman. Drop the bucket. Come to me. He will not just give you rest, but He will give you protection. He will give you satisfaction. So today, would you drop the bucket? Let's pray.